I really appreciate Brother Curtis teaching us that song. I tell you, when the Lord showed me what a lament psalm is, it just really has opened my eyes to a lot of things, and I'm so thankful for the Lord giving truth and opening eyes to truth. Tonight we're going to be looking at spiritual discipline number 2, godly meditation. And you should have a handout. I hope you got one. And there's a poem. I'm gonna explain that toward the end of the message, what that's all about. But we've talked about meditation already a couple of times. When we were in the first discipline, we talked about, as we feast on the Word, one of the things we talked about was meditation. And then on our hymn sing that we had last month, I talked about meditation of hymns. But I wanted to give a message by itself on meditation. And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight. And remember, we talked about how the world tries to copy everything that God does, or the devil does anyway. He's an imitator. And so today we have the New Age movement, yoga, and all that. And most people today, even in churches, this is sad. Even in churches today, when meditation is brought up, they don't think of godly meditation. They're thinking yoga. They're thinking the type of meditation that we should avoid, that's dangerous. And you know, the devil, what he does is he comes and takes a truth that's in the Bible and he makes an imitation, and maybe even a bad imitation at that, so that Christians reject it and we don't practice it. You know, a lot of Christians don't practice meditation because they think of yoga. They think of transcendental meditation, where you're with your legs crossed and you're sitting there with your eyes looking up and saying, I mean, that's what people think today. But instead of emptying the mind, we are filling our mind with God and with truth. That's what meditation is. It's filling our mind with truth. I want to ask the question now, what is godly meditation? What is godly meditation? Why call it godly meditation? Well, I want to contrast it with worldly meditation. I want to teach that something that is biblical, and that's why I call it godly meditation. For the Christian, meditation means having the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, in Colossians 3:16, he said, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You know, this word dwell, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Let it live in you. You know, that goes beyond just reading the Word of Christ. That goes beyond even just memorizing the Word of Christ. It's talking about letting it really saturate your hearts. J.I. Packer, this is probably one of my favorite quotes on meditation. He says, "Meditation is the practice of turning each truth we learn about God into matter for reflection before God, leading to prayer and praise to God." Now, I want you to think about that just a moment. I put some of these quotes in your notes so you wouldn't be busy trying to write them down and not listen to what I'm saying. So you've got them right there. And I've given them to you so you can go back and think about it. But think about this quote that he's saying, that each truth, turning each truth, talking about the turning of that truth in your mind, that we learn about God into matter of reflection before God. Now remember, as we meditate, that you are before God, a holy God. We are in the presence of God, worshiping Him. And so you are reflecting before God on these truths about Him. And this leads you right into prayer and praise. David Mathis, this is what he wrote about meditation in his book, Habits of Grace, Enjoying Jesus Through the Spiritual Disciplines. He said, "We were made to meditate. God designed us with the capacity to pause and ponder. He means for us to not just hear Him, not only to read quickly over what He says, but to reflect on what He says and to knead it into our hearts." So I want you to think about that. That's very good. I mean, we're not just to read quickly over the Bible. And a lot of times that's what Christians do. They'll read through the Bible in a year and they just read through it quickly and they just mark off the checklist. But it don't ever get kneaded into their hearts. They don't stop and reflect. That's what godly meditation is when we stop and reflect on truths about God. I didn't put this quote up, but I'm going to just give you one more. Donald Whitley said that meditation is deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture for the purposes of understanding, application, and prayer. And so that kind of gives you an idea of what godly meditation is. And you know, remember Jesus, and when he was being tempted by Satan in the garden, or in the wilderness, that is, he was in the wilderness. He had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and Satan comes to tempt him. And you remember the first temptation, you know, Jesus had been fasting, and no doubt he was hungry, and so he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these rocks to be made bread." Well, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8 in verse number 3, where it said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And so I want you to listen to this statement. This is another writer said this. He said, the Christian is not to live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so he said, to meditate in the word then is to slowly relish the meal. Well, I thought that was a good one. I mean, how many of you like to eat steak? And, you know, when you eat, you know, food like that, you don't just want to just shove it down as fast as you can. You want to relish it. You want to chew it a while. And that's what meditation is. It's that relishing the meal. We're to live by the Word of God. Every word of God. And so meditating is slowly relishing the meal. Another writer, he described it as a habit of allowing Scripture to circulate through your mind constantly like water through a fountain. You know, water in a fountain, how it just continues to circulate through a pump? He said meditation is like that. It's letting the Word of the Scripture circulate through your mind. Over and over and over. So that is what meditation is. And so now I want to look at this second question. How can we practice godly meditation? How can we practice godly meditation? The first thing, we're going to look at five things tonight. And these things are, four of them are based upon Hebrew words that are translate meditate in the Old Testament. One of them is going to be a Greek word that's translated meditate in the New Testament. So I'm going to take the definitions given from Strong's Dictionary on these five words to teach you what godly biblical meditation is. The first one is by reading out loud and quoting God's word to yourself. And so you can practice godly meditation by simply reading out loud the Word of God, quoting the Word of God to yourself. Now, we're talking about reading it slowly. We're talking about reading it with a reflective mind, with a thoughtful mind. So as you're reading out loud, you're thinking on the Word of God. You're reflecting as you are. And there's a lot of power in reading the Word of God out loud. There's a lot of power in that. A lot of times in prayer time, I would just stop praying and I'll just read out loud the scriptures to God. And it just like as I'm reflecting, as I'm reading, my prayer would be directed by that verse. Now the Hebrew word that's translated in as meditate, the Hebrew word haggah, means to murmur. Not in the sense of a bad sense, but you can see it means either in pleasure or anger, but we're talking about in a good sense, to murmur. By implication, it means to ponder, to imagine, meditate, mourn, mutter. Mutter means to speak quietly out loud to oneself. To speak, study, talk, or utter. And so these are the definitions from Strong's for this Hebrew word, haggah. And I'm going to look at some, I want to look at the examples of where this Hebrew word is used in our Bible that's translated meditate. I want you to look in Psalm 63. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 63, and we're going to read in verses, beginning in verse 3. In Psalm 63, beginning in verse 3, David said, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Now notice verse 6. "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Now there in verse 6, "when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate," this word meditate is haggah, the Hebrew word haggah. And so I want you to think about as he was on his bed, his meditation of God, as he would remember God and meditate, he would be muttering to himself. He would be speaking out loud to God. And so meditation has that idea of speaking, talking, uttering. And let's look at another one. Psalm 77 is another example where it uses this Hebrew word. In Psalm 77, look in verse 11. Psalm 77, verse 11. "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. This uses haggah. I will talk, or I will meditate also of thy work. Talk. You see that word talk? Talk of thy doings. So he's talking to God. So meditation, sometimes we think it's just sitting quietly. Sometimes it could be sitting quietly and just thinking and reflecting. But this Hebrew word, it's to talk. And so I want you to understand the different aspects of meditation. It's not just sitting quietly and reflecting, but it can be talking out loud. Whether you're talking to God or you're quoting God's word to yourself. And so that is meditation, according to that Hebrew word. There's another verse in Psalm 143. I want to give you another example here. Psalm 143. Verse 4 says, "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." Verse 5. "I will remember the days of old. I will meditate on all of thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands." Now that word muse is another Hebrew word for meditation. We'll talk about that word a little bit later. But this first word, meditate, "I meditate on all thy works," is haggah. I will talk out loud of all of thy works. As he was meditating on God's works, he would be speaking of those works out loud. He would be talking of those works to God. And believe it or not, you may not believe this, but Joshua 1:8, if you want to turn there, you can, but I think a lot of people are familiar with that one. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You know, that, I'm just going to stop at that verse there, but that word is Haggah. You know, how he talks about the word of God, how that we're to meditate in it day and night. And he uses Haggah to talk of it day and night, to mutter it out loud day and night. And I remember when we took our first missions trip in 1990, we went to Kenya, and we were going through some place, I can't remember exactly where, but there was a Muslim man sitting, and he would just, he was holding the Quran, and he was sitting there muttering out the Quran. And I was asking the missionary about it later, and he said what they do is they just sit there and quoting the Quran out loud to themselves. And I thought, wow. You know, isn't that something that Muslims would do, practice meditation, yet Christians don't? And so Joshua 1:8 teaches that we should meditate day and night. And then the first Psalm, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, that word meditate is Haggah, where he talks about the man that walketh not, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, Haggah. And so that definition I gave you in your notes, those verses, if you wrote them down, it uses Haggah in all those verses. And that's what that Strong's Dictionary gives as a definition or definitions or words of Haggah. And so it kind of gives you an idea of what meditation is. It's reading out loud, quoting God's word to yourself. Now, let's go to the second one. Meditation, we can practice godly meditation by exalting God in song. By exalting God in song. Before we look at this Hebrew word, I want you to look at Psalm 19, verse 14. This is a verse that's very familiar to many of you, and I've heard a lot of Christians mention or refer to this verse at times, but he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." This is the Hebrew word higgion. Higgion. And higgion is, according to Strong's, is a murmuring sound, a musical notation. It's even translated as a solemn sound. And so I want you to think about this, that meditation can be a reverent, musical repetition of God's word. You know, we just gave you tonight Psalm 130. I hope you take that sheet. I guess it's okay to take them home, Curtis, is it not? Take those home, and you heard the tune, look it over. And you can practice this aspect of meditation with Psalm 130. You can just sing that song. Sing that song, and as you sing, you are reflecting and thinking about what is being said in that lament penitential song. And so, as you sing to the Lord, using either that psalm or using, as I taught, hymns a few weeks ago, or spiritual songs, as you are meditating on these truths that you are singing, declaring, and affirming, that's meditation. And so this Hebrew word, higgion, it gives us the encouragement to meditate on hymns and songs. It's biblical. It's not something that somebody just made up. It's something that's taught in the scripture. It's something that's biblical that we should practice as Christians. One morning as I was praying, I was focusing on Psalm 113. It's not a very long psalm. And I was reading through it in my time with the Lord, and I was just reading it out loud. I was reading it over it out loud to the Lord. And it just so happened that after I read through it about three or four times, that this tune came. And I know you may laugh because I can't even carry a tune hardly. But this tune came to me, and I started singing through Psalm 113. I sang through the entire psalm, Psalm 113. And I thought, I did it twice, and I thought, that's cool. And you know what? I forgot the tune. I'm serious, because I tried like a week or so later. I thought, I'm going to go back to that. That was a really sweet time with the Lord. I'm going to go back to that. And it just, I was like, I wish I had recorded it. I really wish I had recorded it. But it was really neat. I mean, how the Lord just allowed me to sing through that psalm. Just a tune that, just singing it back to the Lord. And so there's that aspect of meditation, exalting God in psalm. Now, I want you to look at Psalm 9. Turn to Psalm 9. And I want you to look in verse 16. Psalm 9:16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Now notice that next word. What does that say? Higion. That's the Hebrew word that we're talking about. Higion. Selah. So it's a musical notation. It's a solemn sound. So that note is given there for a reason. And this Hebrew word, as I've said, that it's translated, meditate. Meditate. As you saw in Psalm 19:14. Now, is that not interesting? Let's go to number three. We practice godly meditation by reviewing, believing, and declaring God's word to your soul and to God. Reviewing, believing, declaring God's word to your soul and to God. The Hebrew word translated as meditate in the verses I'm going to give you in just a moment. Siyak. Siyak means to ponder by implication, to converse with oneself, and hence aloud. So it's pretty similar to the first one we looked at, to utter. There are other places in the Old Testament it is translated as commune, complain, declare, to muse, to pray, speak, and talk with. And so I want you to think about this for a moment. What I want to say about this one is this. Meditation is communing with God in the language of his own written word. Reviewing, believing, declaring his word to your own soul and to the Lord. Reviewing, believing, declaring his word to your own soul and to the Lord. So that's another aspect of meditation that is brought out by Siyak. As we speak the word back to God, and we are affirming that in our own soul, we are believing that, we are reviewing that, we are declaring that in our own soul, and we are speaking it to God. The example I give of this Hebrew word, Psalm 119, if you'll turn to Psalm 119, and look in verse number 10. We'll start with verse 10. Because I'm going to read down to it in verse 16. But he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. It uses the word siyak. So in this case, David's saying that he's speaking back God's precepts. Or he's speaking, reviewing, he's declaring, he's believing God's precepts. He's delighting in them, and he's speaking them out loud to himself and to God. And also in verse, if you'll look down in verse 47 in this psalm, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. I will meditate, siyak. Uses siyak. I will meditate. It's also found later on, I believe, let me look here. Let's see. In verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. So there it uses siyak. So you find the various places there in Psalm 119 where it uses this particular Hebrew word that speaks of speaking out, declaring, leaving, reviewing God's word to your own soul. To converse with oneself. That's what Strong said about that word, to converse with oneself. You're talking to your soul. You think, is that crazy? No, it's not. I mean, the lament psalm, Psalm 42, David speaks to his soul. He says to his own soul, and I don't want to miss the words, but I just want to turn there, where he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. That verse is what it is just what we read, that type of meditation, where David is talking to his soul, as he's talking to God as well, but he's talking to his soul. He's saying to his soul, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? But then he tells his soul, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. See, a lot of these psalms are a result of meditation. Meditation in God through trials and through circumstances in life. They, of course, yes, the Holy Spirit inspired these psalms. But they came as a result of meditation on the Word of God. Let's look at the fourth one. Pondering God's truth to gain wisdom and understanding. Pondering God's truth to gain wisdom and understanding. I want you to look at 1 Timothy. We're going to look at a New Testament reference, then we're going to come back to the Old Testament. But look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start in verse 13. Paul writing to young Timothy, what does he say? Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now notice verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, here the word meditate in verse 15 is the Greek word melitao, which means to take care of, or by implication to revolve in the mind. And so it has the idea of what we've talked about, remember the water fountain illustration of the water just continually to circulate through that fountain. Well, the Word of God revolving in our mind, it's circulating in our mind as we're reflecting, as we're thinking on it. That's what that Greek word has the idea of. And so Paul's exhortation to Timothy is to meditate on these things, the things that he was teaching in this epistle, to meditate on the Word of God so that he could mature in his understanding and application of the Word of God. And the fruit of this meditation on God and his ways not only would affect his own life and help his own life to help him take heed to himself, but Paul says it will affect them that hear thee. You see that in them that hear thee in verse 16. Save thyself and them that hear thee. And so this meditation here is pondering the truth of God's word to gain wisdom and understanding, to be able to make application in our lives and application in the lives of others. And some of those quotes we gave at the beginning, remember, one of them was talking about outdoor application. So as we meditate, it's not just a vain exercise. It's profitable. It's so that we can observe to do, as he told Joshua, so you can observe to do all that is written therein. You know, that's the purpose of meditation, is as we are reflecting on the Word of God, we're thinking, we're pondering on it, as we are asking questions, as we're rolling it over our mind, and what's happening is that God's teaching us and giving us wisdom and giving us understanding and giving us application. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. You know, it'd be much better for someone just to spend time on one verse, reflecting, meditating, and thinking on it, and applying it to their life, than it would be for them reading 5 to 10 chapters that day, and not reflecting and meditating or applying it. What good does it do to read 10 chapters if you didn't apply it to your life, if you didn't reflect and meditate on it? So he tells Timothy here to meditate. Meditate on these things. Meditate on them. Give yourself wholly to them. So the truths that you're meditating on, give yourself to them. Apply them is what it means. Now the last one we'll look at, number 5. By reflection and devotion. We practice godly meditation by reflection and devotion. Another Hebrew word is sechah. Sechah means reflection, devotion. And in Job 15:4, it is translated prayer. Now, I really like this one, and that's why I saved it for last. Meditation is a prayerful reflection upon the words of Scripture. A prayerful reflection upon the words of Scripture. It comes from this word, sechah, reflection, devotion, translated prayer in Job 15:4. If you go back to Psalm 119, I want to just show you an example of it used in the Psalms. This particular Hebrew word, sechah, is Psalm 119, verse 97. He says there, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And he goes on. It's used a second time in verse 99. Well, let's read verse 98. "Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Sechah in both of these verses, verse 97, verse 99, where this word sechah means reflection or devotion. I want you to think about this prayerful reflection, praying through these psalms, these truths about God. I've asked the ushers to hand out this poem, the Hinds Feet poem, as an example that whenever I was meditating one day on Psalm 18, God just caught my attention and wanted me to spend some time in that psalm, verses 32 and 33. I was just really spending a lot of time there, where it says, "It is God that girdeth me with strength, maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places." To those of you not familiar with this old English, hinds' feet, that's deer's feet. Feet like a deer. And as I meditated on this, and I want to just tell you how this psalm, how this poem came about. It's really amazing. I was just reflecting and meditating on that verse, and so I took it into my prayer time. So I started with the Bible, I started with studying that psalm, and my attention was drawn to those verses. And so I was meditating on those verses, and then I went to my prayer time, and in my prayer time I was talking to the Lord about those verses. And as I was talking to the Lord about those verses, thoughts started popping out. It's just like the Lord was directing my thoughts, and thoughts were popping out. And it just so happened that it was just such a powerful experience that as soon as I was done with my prayer time, I went and wrote down those thoughts. And I wrote down those thoughts, and later I shared those thoughts, and I can't remember who I shared them with, but I shared those thoughts of my reflection, my meditation in those verses, and then it was encouraged by David Bennett to take that. I shared it on Facebook. I think I shared those thoughts on Facebook. And so he encouraged me. He said, "Yeah, that looks like a poem, or it could be made into a poem." And it was like a challenge to me, because when we went to this retreat back in the summer in August, he challenged us about poems. And in fact, he wanted us to start writing some poems and sending to him. And so I'm like, I don't think I've written a poem ever, maybe in high school, but if I did, I don't remember. And so I was like, oh man, how am I going to write a poem? But I want to tell you, I sat down and in 10 minutes, this came out. I mean, it was that quick. And I've tried once more after that to write another poem, and it hasn't come together yet. So it's a God thing that comes out of meditation. This poem came out of meditation, and in my struggle with God over these verses, and as I was reflecting and meditating, as I was reflecting on this, I was reflecting, as you see it, the notation at the bottom, that it's inspired by the trail race I did up in Taos. And we're in this valley, and we have to go way up to this top of this mountain. And so that was on my mind. And so I tied it together with this verse and came out with this. And also my reflection upon what I was going through with the loss of my daughter, Abby. And so as I was putting those thoughts together in this verse, that's what came out. And so I show you this just as the fruit of meditation. The fruit of meditation. I'm not saying every time you meditate on Scripture, you're going to have a poem. But what I'm saying is that God can show you some wonderful things through meditation, through prayerful reflection of the Word of God, praying those Scriptures to God, and connecting them with your life and your applying to your life, and God will bring those truths to life in your life. And this truth of meditation, especially connecting meditation of the Word to my prayer life, has transformed my prayer life. It has changed it. And I have found that meditation is the missing link between Bible study and prayer. That's what it is. It's the missing link. And I've already shared this before when I was talking about the first discipline of feasting daily on the Word is that most of the time Christians will read the Bible. They'll do their Bible reading, and then they'll close their Bible, and they'll set it down, then they will pray. But their prayer time has nothing to do with what they just read, because they failed to meditate. They failed to reflect on what they read. And I would just say that for me, at this point, my reading through the Scriptures takes place at another time. My Bible study takes place at another time. But what I do in the morning is I do the Psalms. And I meditate in the Psalms and I pray. That's what I've been doing for the past few months. That's going to probably change when I expand it to other portions of Scripture. But for now, I'm just taking the Psalms and spending about between 15 and 30 minutes just studying the psalm that God puts me a focus on based on the day as I taught Scripture in prayer, praying through the Scripture. And I'll meditate, and then I pray on that meditation, based on that meditation. And meditation doesn't stand alone. I want you to understand it. Don't stand alone. It bridges the gap between your Bible study and your prayer time. It bridges the gap between you hearing from God and speaking to God. That's what it's all about. You know, we've always taught that Bible study is God speaking to you, and prayer is you speaking to God. Why do we separate the two? You know, it's not a conversation if we separate them. A conversation is when you put them together. When you're listening to God, God's speaking to you in His Word through meditation. He's speaking to you, and you're listening. And then when you pray, you're talking to God about that. You're talking to Him about that. Now, I want to show a couple of quotes. The reason, if you bring that up, the reason we come away so cold from reading the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. Thomas Watson. This is from a little article, How We May Read the Scriptures with the Most Spiritual Profit. So he said the reason why we come away so cold is because we don't warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. Let me give you the next quote. The great reason, I don't think I have this one up there. Okay, I'll read that one that's up there. Matthew Henry said, David's prayers were not his words only, but his meditations. As meditation is the best preparation for prayer, so prayer is the best issue of meditation. Now, wait on the next quote. I want to read this one. I forgot to put this one in. This is another one by William Bates. He said, the great reason why our prayers are ineffectual is because we do not meditate before them. Now let's put up that one by Thomas Manton. The Word feedeth meditation, and meditation feedeth prayer. Meditation must follow hearing and precede prayer. What we take in by the Word, we digest by meditation and let out by prayer. Thomas Manton, Complete Works. Now, this Thomas Manton and this Thomas Watson, these are old works. And I didn't take time to look up the dates on these, but these are not like modern day. These are way back, kind of like that psalm. Not quite 1600s, but probably 1800s. See, some of the Puritans way back then, they had this, they understood meditation and practice it. But somewhere along the way in church history, it seems like we've lost it. We've lost it. We don't practice it. And yet it's all over the Scriptures. I showed you tonight. I just gave you examples. There's many, many more examples we could have gone through. But those are the Hebrew words that's used and the Greek words used for meditate. And so this is a spiritual discipline. I want you to think about it. That one book, he calls them the habits of grace. So this discipline of spending time meditation, whether it's meditation in the Psalms or meditation in other scripture portion or meditation in a hymn or meditation in spiritual songs, it's helpful for us in our spiritual life. It'll help fan and feed the flames of spiritual passion. The reason why a lot of Christians are cold, they don't have any passion for God, because they're not practicing the disciplines. They're not practicing a daily feasting on the Word. They're not feasting on it. They're not meditating upon it. And those verses about meditation, you know, Joshua 1:8, we've quoted those since Awanas. Psalm 1. We're familiar with those. I bet there's probably quite a few in this congregation that probably could quote Joshua 1:8 and maybe even Psalm 1. But do we practice what they say? Do we actually meditate day and night in the Scriptures? How do we miss that when we see it right there? And so I want to challenge you tonight to warm yourselves at the fire of meditation. When you spend time with the Word of God, when God just focuses your attention on a verse or a truth, sometimes you have to be intentional. You can't just read it without intention. You have to be intentional. You have to ask the Lord to show you, and you have to ask yourself questions. And as you read through the Scriptures, and I promise, if you're prayerful about it and you go through it, God's going to capture your attention on something that you need at that moment, that day. And when He captures your attention, stop right there. Don't, if you have 4 more chapters to read, save it for later. Save it for tomorrow. Stop right there and start meditating on it. Start taking it in. Reflecting, pouring over it in your mind. Start speaking it to God. Start speaking it aloud. Start praying those verses and those thoughts. Start applying. Try it. I promise you, it'll change your prayer life. Let's stand tonight. Father, we're so grateful. Lord, you've given us your Word to instruct us and teach us. Lord, but sometimes we fail to make application. We fail to apply. Sometimes, Lord, we're blinded to truths that's right there in the Word of God, because we follow, maybe it's tradition, maybe it's, well, this is how we've always done it. And so we don't stop and think about these simple truths like meditation. Maybe because sometimes, because of the world's type of meditation is dangerous. It's something we need to stay away from and avoid. And maybe because of that, we don't meditate in a godly sense. But Lord, help us to recapture this spiritual discipline in our lives, Lord, to practice it daily, along with our feasting on the Word, that we would just stop and reflect and to pray Scripture back to you, to ponder over it, to sing it, to let it soak in, to relish the meal from your Word as we take it in, and to digest it, and Lord, to most importantly, apply it to our lives. Lord, I'm thankful for you teaching me this in my life, Lord, and helping me to grow in my prayer life, to grow in my spiritual life, to ignite my spiritual passion through prayerful meditation of your word and hymns and songs and psalms, Lord. It's been so fruitful. It's helped me. And Lord, I'm thankful to be able to share it with your people tonight. And I pray, God, you'd help them and guide them in this discipline of meditation. Lord, we're going to open up this time for invitation, for reflection on what we've heard. Maybe there's a need for making some commitments to practice this discipline. Maybe there needs to be just some time talking to the Lord about a burden on the heart. Maybe there's someone here even that needs salvation, that needs to know the Lord. Lord, whatever the need is, we pray that that need would be met tonight. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Curtis is going to sing.